Yeah, so today we're talking about gentleness. And as we're kind of getting ready for this, why don't we turn to Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23, and it'll also be up here on the screen. So as long as you guys can see that. Okay? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Let's take a minute and pray, and we can get started. So, Father, I do pray this morning as we think about gentleness, as we think about the fruits of the Spirit, the things that you've called us to do, I just ask that you give each and every one of us opportunities this week to practice gentleness, whether that's with our families, our friends, with total strangers. Lord, I just ask this week you would really give us the chance to practice that and the ability and the desire to as well. We just thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, it's the irony of me teaching on gentleness was not lost on Miss Rachel, my wife Rachel. As a matter of fact, when Mr. Gilbert came up and asked me to preach on that, she did laugh a little bit. And I think rightfully so. None of my hobbies in particular are particularly gentle. my background in life is not very gentle. I can give you some good examples of that. I grew up in the country. I grew up in the countryside, a very rural background. We were rough housing was kind of our idea of fun. I remember once when my brother was a teenager, and he was like about the same height as my dad. I remember once he said to my dad, "You know, I think I can take you now. I think I can take you now." And without losing a second, my dad immediately, like, kneed him in the stomach, dropped him to the floor, and said, "You know, I don't think so, Kyle. I don't think so." It's just, that's kind of the background that I came from, which was not a very gentle place. But thankfully, this week and the past couple weeks, we are talking about the fruits of the Spirit. We're talking about the things that God does in the lives of those who believe in Him. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, the first thing that God does is He deals with our sin, right? I mean, I don't think I need to remind you guys of verses like Acts chapter 16, verse 31, where it says, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Right? The first thing that Jesus does in the life of anybody who believes in Him is brings about forgiveness of sins. And that's the most important thing. But the fruits of the Spirit is talking about what happens after. I know, Gilbert did a great job at the beginning of the series of kind of breaking down what this is, but the fruits of the Spirit are the things that a Christian person is meant to pursue in their life after they've believed in Jesus. So thankfully for me, I can at least speak to things I need to work on in my own life, even if I'm not always the best example of gentleness. Right? Now, the word gentleness in the Greek, the original language that this was written in is praotis. Now let me just double check that here. I wrote it out. Yes, praotis. Now praotis means mildness of disposition, gentleness of spirit, or meekness. So when we're talking about being gentle, we're not talking about being weak. Okay, oftentimes in this world, people who are gentle are viewed as weak. But that's not what the Bible's talking about. Jesus Christ is God, and He was the creator of the entire world. He had all power, everything. He could do anything. He could speak worlds into existence because He is God. And yet Jesus was praotis. He was gentle. Gentleness is a choice. It's a choice to not be rough with somebody else. Okay? It's a choice to not use your power, your strength, to try and hurt somebody else, but instead to deal with them with a mildness of disposition, a gentleness of spirit or with meekness. And that's a very different thing. You could almost say that it's impossible for you to be gentle if you aren't strong in some way. Because if you can't hurt somebody, then you don't even have the option of being gentle towards them, right? Now, the truth is that we're all capable of hurting each other in some way, right? With our words, with our actions. But gentleness is a choice. It's a decision in how you choose to interact with other people. And it has a huge impact on how things go in your life. So let's get into an example of that, okay? So a passage, I want to start with this one just because I quote it all the time, and I think it's a great place to start, okay? So inside the four walls of the church. Now, when we're talking about the church, we're not just talking about this building, the people in it right here. We're talking about our brothers and sisters in Christ all around the world. And in Ephesians 4, it says this, and I'm actually going to read a little bit further than what's on here. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So we're talking about gentleness, okay, and the impact that it has inside the church. So with other people who believed in Jesus, the first impact it has is it helps us to get along with each other. kind of highlighting there. It helps us to bear with one another in love. And all of us have occasion to bear with one another in love. We all do things where it's like, okay, I have to put up with you today. Right? And I think in part that's why Rachel laughed when she has to put up with me. Gentleness helps with that, right? It helps us work together to do the things that God has called us to do in a way that is peaceful. It produces or it leads to a unity, right? I'm just highlighting there again that there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. So gentleness, it's important. Choosing to be gentle with each other is important because it leads to unity in the church. And that is talking about the church with a capital T and a capital C. So not just here physically, but also with other Christians, with other people around the world. And actually, backing up on that. So a story I've probably shared before, but I think it's a beautiful one, is Rachel and I had the opportunity to serve in downtown Portland one time. So we were going to the Cinco de Mayo festival and sharing the gospel with people. And we had this experience of running into a man who was Middle Eastern, so he was from that part of the world, over and over and over again. So at that time, Titus, it was just Titus actually, not Sophia, and he was really small, and he kept playing with this little girl, this man's daughter. And so every time we walked by, they just started interacting with each other. So at a certain point, we were chatting a little bit, and I just sensed that there was this overwhelming sense of peace coming from this person. And so I asked him, Are you a Christian? Like, are you a believer? And he said, yes. Yeah, he comes from a Muslim country. But he did not know peace. What he told me is, I did not know peace in my life until I believed in Jesus Christ. So even though this man, his whole life story is so different from mine, and his family dynamics are different than mine or yours, maybe, if you're not from the Middle East, there's this unity that comes from being part of Christ. There's a unity that comes from being part of the church, and that is so important. And gentleness is part of making that happen. Treating each other with kindness is part of that. Okay. Now, Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. So if we look at Colossians, if you turn there with me. Okay, the next thing we can think about when it comes to what does gentleness do for us here, turning to 3, verse 12. Yeah. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and by the way, even though it doesn't say gentleness here, that's actually the same word. So the word that's being used for gentleness here could also be translated as meekness, as we kind of talked about before. And patience. Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. So the second reason in the church why it's important that we practice gentleness is we have complaints with each other. Not sometimes, but often. We have complaints with each other. Issues arise. And in order for that unity of the Spirit, in order for peace and forgiveness to happen inside of the church, we need to deal with complaints we have with each other with gentleness, just as Jesus Christ dealt with us. Right? And in that passage is a reminder that Jesus Christ dealt gently with us. We've sinned against him. He did not have to show us gentleness. He is the creator of the universe. I mean, if you think about it, think about the president of the United States. Think about a king. Does a king have to be gentle with anybody? No, he doesn't have to. But God chooses to be gentle towards us. He chooses to be kind towards us when he doesn't have to. And so when we have complaints with each other, God wants us to deal with those complaints as gently as possible. You know, I can think of a couple instances here, but I'll give an example. So at this church, we've had a lot of challenges with the homeless community. There have been a lot of people that have been going through all sorts of tough times that have, you know, come on the property and have done damage, or there's been challenges. And I can think of one person in particular who I interacted with several times. And I handled the interaction with this person two very different ways. They were strung out, they were using drugs, and they're not in the right mind. And the first time I met them, I happened to have some things that I could give them, like some supplies and stuff to help them out. It was a cold, particularly cold day. And I helped them out with that stuff. It was a very positive interaction, and you know, it ended up that the situation was just better overall, right? Like, I was able to help them, they were able to move on and all these things. This same person, one day, I was on the property again, this was like months later, and I was in a bad mood. I was feeling grouchy, and they were doing something they weren't supposed to do on the property. they were littering and causing problems. And I dealt with the person harshly. And the result was a shouting match and difficulty and conflict that didn't need to happen, right? So thinking about the difference between dealing with a complaint you have with somebody, whether it's in the church or out of the church, gentleness makes everything easier. I gave myself more work to do that day, and I didn't even know it, right? I gave myself an extra task, which was by being unkind towards this person, not being gentle with them, it caused more problems for myself in the long run. And so it's just a reminder that when we have complaints with each other, gentleness makes for much less work. Now, actually, immediately after the fruits of the Spirit here, so Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, so right in the same section that we're covering, it says, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work. And then his reason to boast will be in himself and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load." So, at the beginning of this, kind of the core of this, okay, if anyone's caught in any transgression, so transgression is another word for sin. So, if somebody in the church is caught in sin, we should look to restore this person in a spirit of gentleness. gentleness, if we deal with sin in the church with gentleness, can lead to restoration. Right? It can lead to somebody coming back into the fold, repenting, and making better choices. Dealing with people with gentleness can lead to restoration in a way that dealing with roughly with people cannot. Right? In a way, when you deal with somebody who's sinned with gentleness, it's like you're taking away a barrier. Right? And I love that in this passage, not only does it tell us to deal with people that are that have sinned in the church with gentleness, but we're also reminded that we need to be humble, because that person is also us sometimes. Sometimes we're the person that's restoring somebody else, and sometimes we're the person that needs to be restored. And so there's a reminder that we need to humble ourselves and deal gently with other people. If somebody sinned against you or has sinned in the church and you need to call them out, do that, but do it in love. Something I was talking with Rachel about this earlier this week, and in her job, she has to confront people a lot, which she absolutely does not like to do. That is not Rachel's personality. When she has to confront people, she finds that really uncomfortable and all these things. But something that came to my mind in this whole thing is, and she is somebody who I think is a good example of being very gentle, right? She's good at being gentle with other people. That when there's complaints, when there's conflict, there are two things that need to happen. Okay? One, you need to confront the issue. Okay? If there's sin in the church, you have to confront it. That's just the bottom line. It has to happen. And you need to confront it the right way. I think some of us who are not super conflict, like aren't super big fans of conflict like that, oftentimes I think those are the people who are a little bit more gentle of spirit. And that's a benefit, because that means you already are coming into the conflict with the right desire to not just absolutely crush the other person, right? You don't want this conflict to exist, but you do still have to engage. You do still have to engage and deal with the problem. And on the flip side, some people are very happy to deal with conflict. That's more my personality. And this passage reminds me that I can't just, when I see a problem, I can't just deal with it any way I want, right? I have to deal with other people the way Christ wants me to. And both of those things are true kind of at the same time. And so that's within the church, right? All of those verses we've covered, that's advice for dealing with other Christians, other people who put their faith in Christ. But gentleness is not just important inside the church. So if you're a note taker, right, it contributes to unity in the church. Gentleness is essential when we have complaints against each other. Gentleness can help with correction and restoration when somebody has transgressed or sinned, done something wrong. So that's in the church. But outside of the church, when it comes to the world, when we're dealing with people who don't love Jesus, who don't have that same desire to deal with things the way Jesus wants us to deal with things, we have some reminders too. In Titus chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, it says, "Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing away our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another." God has called us to interact with and to treat other people with gentleness, to avoid fights, to speak evil of no one, to be that kind of a person. And again, we're reminded because that's exactly the kind of person we are. That's exactly where we're coming from. We are sinners too. We come from this place where we're all coming from the same starting position. And so when you're dealing with difficult people, right? Maybe that story I shared earlier would almost be better for this verse. dealing with somebody who maybe is breaking the law or is unkind or is difficult. This verse reminds us to be gentle, to speak evil of no one, to avoid fighting with people as much as possible. You know, it's funny. You know, we're talking about avoiding fights, right? And I, as many of you know, I love martial arts. I love martial arts. I love training martial arts and all these things. And you might think that martial artists, or especially people who fight, who do the combat sports side of things, are the most quarrelsome people in the whole entire world. But the reality is that most people who do that are people who've been bullied or have been picked on or have done this and this and this and this, and aren't the types typically that are starting fights and these sort of things. And I find in myself that oftentimes in martial arts, what I've found is that there's a humbling aspect to that, right? That you go in and you train and you find out, oh, there's people who are so much better at me than this. And you get humbled. Say, okay, well, maybe I didn't know as much as I thought I did and do this sort of thing. And in walking with the Lord, I think that's a great analogy. There's a great crossover there for being a gentle person does not mean you're incapable of fighting. It doesn't mean you're not right. Right? When you choose to be gentle with somebody who's quarrelsome and difficult, it doesn't mean that you're not in the right. You may well be in the right. It may be that this other person has wronged you. It might be that you have within your power to make their life miserable in this whole thing. Again, just thinking about, you know, when it comes to that analogy there of you might be able to punch the person in the face. You might be able to do these things. But when you've experienced the humbling, you've had the humbling experience of learning just how much of a sinner you are and how much you fall short, there is this aspect of, okay, I know that God has been really kind to me. I know that God, he could have just punished me for my sins. He could have just said, that's it, I've given up on Daniel. I'm done. That could be it. But instead, he chose to send his son Jesus to make a way for my sins to be forgiven. And so when I'm dealing with other people who are being evil towards me, who are doing wrong things towards me, this passage reminds us that, guess what? You need to be patient because God is patient with you. You need to be gentle because God has been gentle towards you. Okay, third in this section here. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 through 16. second there. Okay. So it says here, First Peter 3, there we go. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. As I was preparing for this, I couldn't help but think of Mr. Mark at the state fair, you know, at the booth with the Design Science Association. You know, the whole point of that is to make a case for Christ, to give a reason for why we can believe in Jesus with a good conscience. And this passage reminds us that while we are doing this, we need to be gentle. We need to be respectful towards people so that we can give nobody any reason to have a problem with us, with the message of Jesus Christ, or with Jesus Christ himself. That we need to be gentle and respectful. And it's hard. I mean, I'm sure Mark could tell us a lot of stories about difficult people coming by when making the case for Christ. I know we've had some really challenging people. You know, voices have been raised at times. It's hard to be respectful and gentle towards other people when sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. But when you do that, it's potentially removing another one of these barriers that could lead somebody to knowing God, to having their sins forgiven. And so it's worth it. It's worth it to practice gentleness, even when making the case for Christ. And lastly here, from this little section, 2 Timothy 2, verses 23 through 26. Okay. I'm making you guys turn a lot today, but it's all good stuff. 2 Timothy 2:23. In 2 Timothy 2:23, it says, have nothing to do
with foolish, ignorant controversies. You know that they breed quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, after being captured by him to do his will. So again, ultimately, we don't want to give anybody any reason to have a problem with Jesus, right? We don't want to do anything that prevents somebody from coming to know him. Ultimately, gentleness, when we conduct ourselves with gentleness, we are protecting ourselves from slander. We're not giving anybody a reason to have an issue with us or God. We show others the same gentleness that Christ has shown us as an example, right? We should. And gentle correction might lead to somebody's salvation. It might lead to somebody who maybe is an enemy of God coming to put their faith in him, to have their sins forgiven and have a new life. So it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing when we practice gentleness, right? It leads to all sorts of good things inside the church, all sorts of good things in the world. But just as a reminder, as we're finishing up here, okay, when we're talking about the fruits of the Spirit, this is what comes after you've believed in Jesus Christ. If you haven't put your faith in Jesus Christ, the first issue you have to deal with is your own sin, your own need for forgiveness. Romans 10:9 says, "But because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." I saw a really great little graphic the other day. I should have brought it up here, but a really great graphic the other day that talked about the difference between being justified and being sanctified. When you believe in Jesus and ask him to forgive your sins, in God's eyes, you are justified. Okay? When you ask Jesus to forgive your sins, it means that God doesn't see you in the mistakes you've made anymore. He sees Jesus in your place. After you've believed in Jesus, that's where sanctification comes in. That's where working on things like being gentle, being loving, being kind, being patient, that's what comes after, is becoming more like Jesus Christ. And so for you today, if you have not believed in Jesus Christ, if you've never professed that he's your Lord and asked him to forgive you for your sins, I would gladly pray with you today. If you have any questions about that, of course, you can come ask at the end here. And if you've already believed in Jesus, then my encouragement for you this week is to practice gentleness, because it's a benefit in everything. In every part of our lives, gentleness is a benefit. With our family, with our friends, with total strangers, with random dudes leaving garbage on your property, whatever. Being gentle with people, it's worth it. It's not a sign of weakness. It's very difficult to be gentle with other people. And so my challenge for you this week is to practice that if you've already put your faith in Christ. And if you haven't, you can do that today. So let's pray. And I think I'll just pray and thank the Lord for the food, because after this is lunch. We're going to have lunch, and I hope you all can stay for that. So, Father, thank you so much for your kindness and gentleness towards us. Thank you for the work that you've done in our lives already, for those of us who know you. And I just pray you would continue to do a work in our lives. You would continue to teach us how to be like you, to treat other people with kindness, even when they are not being kind towards us, with gentleness, even when we don't feel like showing gentleness towards others. And if anybody here, Lord, doesn't know you, I just pray that they put their faith in you and know what that forgiveness and freedom feels like in you, Jesus. In your name, amen.